In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Attaboy, John, that seemed to be right on target again.
I am just on a roll, Stan. Don't stop me now. I'm John Kurlinski.
I'm Stan Hudson, and we want to welcome you to this week's episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation. Lighthearted, because we know no other way.
Lighthearted, we have a lot of fun, we're unabashed creationists, and we go right after that old beagle.
And you know, even though we're unabashed, we try and stand not to be bashing, the Bash Brothers,
well,
so to speak.
Well, I don't know, we're sort of the Bash Brothers, at least verbally.
We bash ideas, not people, though.
Okay.
In other words...
Well, speak for yourself.
Well, we talked last week about pushing buttons.
Yes.
And pushing people's buttons.
Cosmology buttons.
We saw it in the courtrooms where creationists and evolutionists are arguing what they should
duking
teach.
Duking it out.
Duking it out. Lawyers, one after the other.
Yep.
Too bad they couldn't hurt each other physically. No, I end up in the...
Entertaining. Like a hockey game.
Yeah. Bash lawyers. No.
We don't want to bash people. We want to bash ideas. And that's what we're about here on Sink the Beagle. But you know what, John? When we see that kind of clashing going on, Christians, of course, get defensive. They see these kind of attacks on Christian values. What do we do?
We tend to want to fight back.
Sure.
You bite me, I bite you. You hit me, I hit you. We often return in kind. Much
return
like, you
fire,
know,
not turning the cheek, huh?
It's kind of, do we respond like we say, you know, just recently in our memories is the idea over in Europe where the Danes and European papers printed cartoons of Muslims who, you know, it was...
Well, there's a picture of Mohammed
with a bomb on his head or something.
Exactly.
And as a result, I mean, the riots occurred in cities around the world,
people
burning
have
of
died.
Embassies. People died. Is that how we should respond with the same visceral, even though there can be lots of negative reactions toward Christian or creationist ideas?
Well, and here's the thing, John, because there's no question that in this country, we as Christians see a mounting attack on our Christian values. We see it from lots of different sources. Lots of different people are even being creative in it.
Yeah, look like the Flying Spaghetti Monster guy.
Flying Spaghetti Monster guy. What are you talking about?
There's a guy who promotes, he's an anti-intelligent design scientist.
Oh.
And he created a very creative website. He did the Flying Spaghetti Monsters. In other words, if we're going to teach intelligent design in our schools along with evolution, we might as well teach about the Flying Spaghetti Monster too.
As
a possible source of our origins.
And you know, you just showed me the website, and if you want to go there, folks, I suppose you can and waste some time. No, you'll get bothered because we were bothered, and they have some great Christian artwork where a picture of God would have been. There's this flying spaghetti
monster, and it shows, you know, the finger of God touching the finger of Adam.
Yeah, Michelangelo, Sistine Chapel.
Instead of what would Jesus do, what would the flying spaghetti monster do? And they're very offensive.
Yeah, very direct and in-your-face stuff.
Yeah. Anti-Christian.
Oh, yes.
It's not just anti-intelligent design. These were anti-Christian because the reality is that many intelligent designers are Christians who believe in Jesus Christ.
Sure.
And so he's actually, it's affrontive, it's offensive, it's almost blasphemous.
Pushing our buttons.
How should we respond, though, now that our buttons were sort of pushed a little bit when we saw that?
I think mailed bombs would probably be best.
Well, he actually got some mail bombs.
Oh, he did?
Oh,
yeah.
But they weren't so much explosive kinds. I've read a few of them, and they were actually quite, you'd say, a Christian wrote that?
I mean,
and I think some were actually trumped up that where he might have written himself, but the point is that he made...
maybe
not, but there are some Christians who respond almost in kind and wish the worst on people, and there seems to be a level saying, wait a minute, if we are Christian, what should be a Christian response when someone... in your face, violently or verbally or intellectually or you know, psychologically, mentally assaults you and attacks the very core of your beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
How comfortable are you in your faith, and how does faith respond?
Well, not only is it just an attack on your personal beliefs, which is sort of an attack on what you are, sometimes we'll take, and correctly so, we'll take it as an affront on God himself, and we feel like we maybe want to defend God or, you know, or
much
be
like
his,
the Muslims.
That's exactly right, and that's the buttons that are being pushed there in there.
They feel they need to defend their God.
And, you know, when you see riots and everything, you know, you think about Richard Dawkins' earlier comments we talked about a couple of weeks ago on Sink the Beagle, where he said that, you know, religion is the root of all evil is religion. And, you know, and we give him fodder when
even
we respond this way.
Even though it's not Christianity in this case, it's Islam. Islamic religion gets a black eye in the arena of intelligent thinking folk, where they will say that, you know, that's what religion does. What an illogical response to a cartoon. Come on, grow up, take it. And so they will side with a Dawkins and say, you know, yeah, religion is a problem and Christians are only one step away from Muslims or Jews or Hindus or whatever. They're all a bunch of superstitious crazies. We need rational people running this world. And it gives them fodder.
Well, and you know, unfortunately, there is plenty of room even in the Christian community to find those kind of examples. And again, you ask the question, what should we as Christians do in these kinds of cases when the buttons are being pushed and we are challenged?
I want to introduce it. Maybe introduce it early instead of late today. A torpedo text.
Okay.
And we found it in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. And Jesus was going around and healing, and they came to a village, and he was on his way to Jerusalem, and they're visiting, and they're going through the village of Samaria. And as he was going through the village, verse 53 of Luke 9 says, but they, the Samaritans, did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. You know, in other words, he was on his way to do something much more important than just deal with Samaritans' religious issues.
They thought they were being slighted,
being dissed a little bit. He was kind of because he was had a mission to go, he was pushing their buttons, and the disciples noticed the actions. And what did they say?
Okay, when his disciples, James and John, saw this, verse 54, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did?
They like to push the Elijah button.
Yeah, calling for an airstrike. Lord, do you want me to, we'll get right on a radio right now and we'll bomb these critters.
we'll toast them. We'll
fry them.
Yeah.
Because, and you know, and they were genuinely distressed over a slight to their Lord.
To their Lord and Savior, their God. And they knew who Jesus was. You can tell by their response. Should we call in the big guns?
Yeah.
And should we really level this place and make them pay for their slight?
Well, what did Jesus say?
Jesus said to them, he turned and rebuked them and said, you don't know what kind of spirit you are of.
Ooh.
For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And he went on to another village.
Ah, so you go to where you might be received. And don't worry at the present time of bombing the enemies.
Yeah, the enemies in the end will have their just rewards or their just desserts. Or maybe just maybe, by a different type of reaction from Christians, maybe they'll be won over to the argument of Christ. Maybe they'll be won over. Jesus, you know, there's a, I love the text that's found in the Gospel of John. Jesus says, they shall know you are my disciples, my followers, if you burn down some embassies
or bomb the enemy.
Or you go to court and fight legally to insert my teachings in public schools and argue or send nasty emails to atheistic kind of scientists. He didn't say send them nasty emails. Jesus says to love them freely.
To love as God loved. God loves his enemies. He sends rain upon the just and the unjust. If you want to be like God, it says, be perfect as your Father in heaven.
Yeah, which is, man. That's kind of raising the bar.
You know, John, a little while ago, as a pastor, I preached a sermon in my church on the subject of the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments is being removed from various public buildings around the United States, and court cases are generally being lost. Being lost more often than one, and they're being removed, and people correctly see this as an attack on religion. I understand that, but people get all upset about it. And I use the illustration from Exodus of when Moses received the original Ten Commandments.
The ones he busted on the...
He busted the first set. But the second said, God said, bring me a pair of tablets like the first ones, which God had made the first time. God the blanks and wrote on it. God did. But this time he told Moses, you bring me something to write on and we'll try it again. And that's similar to the text in Jeremiah where God says, I'll write my commandments on your heart. How do you promote the Ten Commandments in a country that's sort of sliding spiritually and attacking the Ten Commandments? Do you win it in court? Do you take it to the Supreme Court and make sure those monuments get all over the place?
You allow the Holy Spirit to write them on your heart
Live
it in your life. Mm-hmm. When they see you as life givers, as honoring of the parents that gave you birth, as being honest to the mm-hmm. core of your being, as not being greedy and selfish.
That's right.
When they see the change that Christ wants to write on your heart, that is the most winsome argument for the philosophy you have.
And that's correct.
And the worldview you have.
And you will win over an evolutionist probably quicker that way than trying to combat them with just pure science. Even though there's lots of support scientifically for creationism, what's going to touch their heart is probably how they see your life living out with your belief. And God is a creator and loves you and has purpose for you. They'll want that.
When they see people who are easily able to forgive,
mm-hmm.
people that can put up with some stuff and not dish it out the way they received it,
mm-hmm.
when they see people who, when they make mistakes, ask for forgiveness and
exactly.
say, you know what, I'm sorry I've wounded you. I'm sorry I imposed my...
Humble and unselfish people.
There's a meekness. There's mm-hmm. a humility that just allows you to be totally free. Jesus says, you know what? He told the disciples, they're not persecuting you.
Mm-hmm.
They're not angry at you. They're angry at me.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Jesus says, I'm the one that they really are after, not you.
Mm-hmm.
The devil's not after the disciple as much as he's after the disciple's Christ. He wanted to throw him off the throne of God in the very beginning of
mm-hmm.
this conflict of sin,
mm-hmm.
and he still wants to take him down. But if he can't take him down, he'll try to take you down.
You know, and it's funny, if you think about it, the people who riot, you know, whatever their religion is, and riot on behalf of God, aren't they partly saying that we don't trust God is able to take care of these things himself?
Yeah.
We're gonna fight for God because
God
can't settle the account. He's not strong enough, not big enough. And in the same way, don't we as Christians have an obligation to show faith in God that God will straighten out this world? We don't have to straighten it out ourselves.
Our job isn't to go out and beat Christianity into someone's head. Our job is to witness how Christianity or the Christ of Christianity, how Jesus has
mm-hmm.
changed our own
mm-hmm.
life. It's like when Jesus found the demoniac all mm-hmm. strung out from this world and he sends the demoniacs back and tells them, go. And they wanted to go with Jesus and they wanted to become his disciples. He says, hey, no, just go tell what I've done for you.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't give them a
yep.
whole lot of texts about how this and that. Just let them see a changed life. That will speak a whole lot more than you coming with me and everything
mm-hmm.
else.
When Jesus came back through that region, there was a lot of people ready to listen to him.
Everyone was ready to listen. They were the ones who just chased him away. And the ones who chased him away now welcomed him, and there are many new believers because of that.
Changed lives are the ones, those are the evidences that will be the strongest in promoting both the Ten Commandments, Christianity.
Creation, the whole nine yards. The whole nine yards is
mm-hmm.
found in the changed lives. If you come from a hand of a loving creator, be a loving creature. That's the greatest evidence of a loving creator is a loving creature. And that's the kind of data that really needs to get out there.
And you can't argue it either.
Love when you feel it.
Exactly. And you can't disprove it in a scientific lab or something. It works for you, and that's evidence for me.
And it's the most persuasive and powerful mm-hmm. argument. Nietzsche was right in one respect. I'll believe in your Christ when you people act more Christian. And that's a good motto to follow for the creation evolution debate, too. So tune in again to another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.